Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. There was a story about a man who lived on a high mountain with a town below. And this man was noticing that there was a tsunami, a storm coming upon that town. The town couldn't realize it because they were on level ground. But this man on a high mountain saw that the storm was coming. But he realized that if he was going to go down to that town, it would have been too late. So what he did was he sacrificed his house. He lit his house on fire. And everyone in the town, they saw the house on the hill and they said, "This man's house is on fire." And everyone had a choice. For those who went up that hill and went to help that man, they arrived on top of the hill. And they were saved. They saw the tsunami and they realized that this man sacrificed his home so that they all could be saved. But some of them in that town, they said, "That has nothing to do with me. Let his house burn. It's not my problem." The tsunami came and destroyed the entire town. Those who helped the man were saved. Those who didn't died. Jesus invites us all to rise and go up to that hill on Calvary where he died so that we can all be saved by his blood. There are storms everywhere we look. Very few people actually claim to be happy. It actually shocks me. All this world talks about is be happy, be happy. And what it says is, do what makes you happy. And yet the interesting thing is, doing what makes you happy doesn't make you happy. Maybe, just maybe, it's not doing what makes you happy that makes you happy, but it's doing what you're called to be, being a light for others. Maybe, just maybe, it's love that the human heart desires. It's love that we all seek. And love is meant to be poured out. It's an offering of oneself. I want you to declare with me Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Amen. Jesus doesn't teach us to love our life, but to lose our life for love. In John 12, he said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life." You guys ready to have some fun? Yes, kids, are you ready? Who's my... All right. In front of me is a big, long rope. I did this one time a few years ago. Can you just walk, go? This rope signifies your entire existence, okay? And the rope goes on and on and on, and it keeps going. It keeps going. He's going to reach the people, and it goes on and on for all of eternity. This red part signifies your life on earth. This white part signifies everything else. You have a few short years on earth, and then all of eternity. Some of us think only of this red part. We think only of our lives on earth, forgetting that there is eternity that is coming after. We say, YOLO, live it up, you do you. Enjoy yourself, or think of the future, not knowing that this is the future. So we say, I can't wait for school to be over. I can't wait for my wedding. I can't wait for my kids to grow up. I can't wait for retirement. Thank you, buddy. Give him a round of applause. How about that? All right. What I do during this red part It influences all of eternity. Jesus, in choosing to embrace his cross, did not focus just on this life. The prize that Jesus was living was not for this red part, but for all of eternity. When Jesus embraced his cross, he was laughed at. He was mocked. When you don't live for this red part, people will make fun of you. They'll say, "You're a fool." Well, listen to what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4. Declare it with me. We are fools for Christ. Declare it with pride. I am a fool for Jesus. They'll say, "Why do you go to church on Sunday? The Lions are playing and they're actually good. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Just one day, sleep in. It's your only day. You and your girlfriend, you don't mess around? Wait, you guys are saving yourselves for marriage? You're a virgin? You're a fool. You and your spouse, you practice naturally family planning? You don't use contraception? Really? A priest? Wait, Father, you're a priest. That means you can't get married? You're not going to have a wife and kids? Really? Gezile, abuna, just get married. Gezile, maser, why would you be a nun? Why would you be a priest? You're a fool. They'll call us stupid. But you know what I would say? You're stupid. Because you're living for this. You only care about this. And yet we have all of eternity coming after us. And as much as you want to believe it, that we're all good people and we're all going to be saved, Jesus saves us. But if you do not believe in him and are washed by his blood in confession, and I'm not just talking about the sacrament, I'm talking about if you do not humble yourself and confess your sins, you will not be made clean. Only God can wash us of our sins and give us redemption, eternal life. And yet we live this life only sinning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ." Family, we must die to live. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. The law of love is to die to yourself and live for another. And yet, all throughout the culture, selfishness. It's all about me. You do you. Be happy. That's not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is I die for you so that you may live. This red part has a purpose. The purpose of this red part is not a better red part. We live our lives like, we'll say like, "Oh, when I'm 20 years old, right here, you know, I'm gonna live so that when I'm 50, I'm chilling, I'm good." And then when I'm 50, I'm like, "Oh shoot, I'm actually gonna die. Wait, let me get good with God." You might not be there. This red part has a purpose, and this purpose is not just a happy life. Your purpose is love. Your purpose is imitation of Jesus. We are meant to be a church on a mission. You know, it often feels like the church is being attacked and the church is losing. First, though, the war is over. Jesus Christ is victorious. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the winner. We are on the winning side. You just got to choose Jesus. But it feels like we're losing all around the culture. What's going on? What's happening to our kids? What's happening to the future? We're losing. Step one, you're already winning. You've won. Jesus is victorious. Sorry. I want you to notice something from Jesus' promise. This is in Matthew 16. We've heard it many times. Repeat after me. I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church. Okay, listen to what Jesus is about to say, okay? Repeat after me. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, every time I've read this, I've always thought, every time the church gets attacked, we will stand. The church will be strong. No one's going to destroy us. The church is powerful. Like, we're grounded on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen to this. It says, I will, on this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates, say gate. Gates. So one more time, gate. And the gates of hell will not prevail. I have a question. Does a gate attack anyone? So that means a gate is something that protects. 2 weeks ago, I preached a homily on family. You are the gate for your sheep, right? Anything that attacks you, you stay strong. But what Jesus is saying to St. Peter is not when you get attacked, you're going to stay strong. No, he's saying, church, you're the one on attack. When you attack, the gates of hell will not prevail. You will bring down the gates of hell and you will storm hell because hell has no chance over you. The church is meant to be on attack. Jesus is a warrior who takes up his cross and defeats death. We also must have that confidence. The culture is loud, but when we attack this culture, they feel stupid. That's the truth. We attack with the truth, and the truth is something that we need to be grounded on. We need to come to know the truth. That's why this church needs to be alive in speaking the truth. When you come to this church, especially St. George, and honestly, family, how blessed are we that we are Chaldean. We have a strong church. And when I talk about church, I'm not talking about culture. I'm talking about we have a church that is speaking truth. We are not scared because we attack what is evil. And we will communicate it. We will say it. And if you don't like it, then you're not. If you're not part of the truth, then you're not a part of Jesus. And Jesus is calling you back to himself. Our parish and our diocese needs to be alive in Jesus Christ. The church is growing, and the church is you. Please, family, go out and proclaim the truth of Jesus and proclaim this way of righteousness, this way of holiness. Each of us has a mission. But every single one of us, family, needs a community to build up our faith. So I'm going to end this homily by just plugging all of our programs in the church. Come to this place. This is your second home. So first, we have, for all those married couples, every first Friday with Abuna Fawaz, we have a marriage program. All married couples. Every Tuesday, high school youth group, DOC. Every Wednesday, middle school boys, 316. Every Thursday, middle school girls, circle of friends. On Wednesdays, it's like our young adult night, 7 p.m. Mass, and after we have a men's group or we have a Bible study called Scripture Social. The Adoration Chapel is open 24/7. Family, the church is the house on the hill. When you come up to that house, the storm is coming, but you will be saved. Come to the place of salvation, your church, where Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity are received. Amen.